So to tell us a bit about the state of game development in Australia in 2017, I am joined by Brendan Keogh. He is a lecturer of game design at SAE Creative Media Institute. Brendan, welcome to Drive.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Now, the idea of making a video game, it's kind of changed over the last maybe 10 or 15 years. So can you tell us how the logistics of making a game has changed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, the way, I guess, they used to be made and still are in one area is for massive international blockbuster games that are often called AAA games.
Okay.
So games like Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, those really massive ones.
Mm.
And they were made by big, you know, international publishers and cost a lot of money and take a lot of people to make them. Over the last decade or 15 years or so, the rise of things like broadband internet, everybody having a smartphone, middleware that's much more easy to access to make video games has seen the rise of what's generally called like indie games. So just like photography or music, it's become easier for people to make stuff without needing a whole lot of money up front to buy specific software and stuff. So we're seeing more and more people making video games in different capacities, not just as these massive international commercial blockbusters, but smaller indie titles, casual games on mobile, little personal arty things. It's become a much more diverse spectrum of creativity.
So as this has become more diverse, has this influenced the core kind of demographic of the average gamer? Like, I guess when I was a kid, it was like Tony Hawk, and I was the 14-year-old boy who was the main demographic they're aiming at. But as it's become way more diverse, everyone has a mobile. Has that changed as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, really, really dramatically. So those large games have always primarily targeted teenage boys as their kind of primary audience that they're interested in. And that in turn kind of ensured the people who grew up most wanting to make video games were those teenage boys who had been targeted. Now, mobile games, definitely mobile games is one of the major ones where you don't need to own a massive PC anymore. You don't need a committed console to play video games. It costs hundreds of dollars. You already have quite a powerful device in your pocket. So a whole range of people, I mean, I can talk to a family and like, do you play video games? And they'll say no. And then I look at their phone and they'll have like 10 or 20 video games on there.
Okay.
And it's just not considered video games, quote unquote, in the same way as those big games. And then at the other end of the spectrum, the fact that more people can make more types of games now. So more personal stories by like just a couple of teenagers or by a queer person or whoever, just means you're getting games that more people relate to, which in turn has meant more people have decided they're interested in making games. So essentially more is possible for more people now, and that has dramatically changed who we see as people who play video games as well.
In your article, you mentioned the funding cuts in the 2014 budget in this realm of creating video games in Australia. Can you kind of bring us up to speed with the last couple of years of how the government is supporting the creation of video games in Australia right now?
Yeah, so on a federal level, essentially they're not. In quite a few ways. So the budget that the previous Labor government, part of the previous Labor government's budget in 2014, I actually can't remember exactly, but I'm trusting I said the right numbers and you quoted me correctly. In 2014, let's go with that. They supplied $20 million for the games industry, which was a really exciting boost and like a very small part of the overall budget when you think about it. It's a pretty small amount of money. The first Abbott government budget, which slashed a whole range of things, just got rid of that without any consultation and kind of left the industry reeling a bit. There was a whole bunch of people getting ready for the next application round and they'd started on prototypes and everything, then suddenly it didn't exist anymore.
Okay.
At the same time, elsewhere, Arts Council funding got changed with, I forget what Brandis wanted to change the name to, but now it's called Catalyst Funding, and that explicitly excludes interactive games from projects that are eligible for funding for it. So on an on a federal level, there's very little support for the games industry. On a state level, it's a little better in some places. It's a bit mixed bag, but Film Victoria in particular are doing a lot of work supporting the game industry down there. It's night from day, really, the difference between what the scene is like in Melbourne compared to elsewhere in the country.
Oh, wow.
Just purely from that government support. It's created a very different, much more lively scene.
Okay. On a federal level, it seems a bit interesting or unusual that they're kind of always banging on about innovation. And this is an example of a growth industry for the future, if nothing else is. So is there kind of a disconnect in your mind between the rhetoric and the funding in this area?
Yeah, totally. And it's something video games have long struggled with in a range of areas, just in terms of cultural acceptance, really, is that they are at kind of the forefront of innovation in new technologies and all that. Like, things that happened in, you know, digital culture generally happen in video games first, for better or worse, except people don't really think to look there. They've kind of got this reputation still as just boys' toys, like next to the G.I. Joe action figures and, you know, whatever else, Matchbox cars. They're just a toy. So people don't really think of them as this kind of significant art form and significant form of popular culture, really, alongside film and music and all those. So they tend to get overlooked when there's a lot there that they can tell us about what's going on.
From that budget announcement was, I think, 2013. So, for example, that first, was it $20 million from the original program? What does that money go towards funding? Developing new companies or new technologies? What is there that was there at the moment but's kind of missing now?
I guess without trying to be too specific and getting it incorrect, the main kind of thing that was coming out of it was new IP, so new intellectual property, new intellectual property that was owned by Australian companies and new startup Australian game studios and individuals. Previously, the Australian game industry was mostly a work-for-hire kind of model where overseas publishers like Ubisoft or THQ and Sega, other big names, ran large studios down here to essentially do a lot of the just like kind of a busy work on video games that the kind of creative leads were off in America or Canada or whatnot.
Okay.
So the studios down here were kind of make all the assets, go do this AI programming, whatnot, and kind of shipping it over to America. And the main reason that existed was because of the difference of a US-Australian dollar, it was cheaper to outsource that work to Australia.
Oh, okay.
With the global financial crisis, that changed, and it was no longer cheaper to send it to Australia when the dollars reached parity. And one after another, all those big studios started being shut down, which left a bit of a vacuum in the sense that there was a whole bunch of skilled people here who knew how to make video games and had been for decades, but there was no large studios supporting that. So a lot of those people just started their own small startups, making small mobile games, making small to mid-range PC titles, all in a kind of independent capacity, and releasing these on Steam and the App Store. So that ensured we essentially started seeing more unique intellectual property in Australia, and the funding was really supporting that and helping that grow. So essentially homegrown video games that just kind of stayed here rather than being shipped off overseas.
So some of your research area involves investigating how video games influence culture. So why is it so important that we have Australian game designers designing the games that not just teenagers are playing, but I guess all of society are playing?
Yeah, I mean, the easy kind of straightforward answer is essentially just video games are a significant part of popular culture these days. They're no more or less important, I would say, than film or music or anything else. Oh, they are arguably more important in the sense that kind of youth Australia culture is connecting quite a lot with video games. They're kind of a new emerging popular cultural form. And it's real, and it's an area that young people want to express themselves in. So if we would be at a loss if young Australians who are trying to express themselves creatively and kind of add to that creative identity of Australia are missing out on doing that. And we're already seeing some of the most exciting Australian video games that kind of represent Australia are kind of coming out of Victoria with funding down there. So there's Paperbark, which is a game about a wombat in rural Victoria.
Cool.
There's, I'm going to get the name wrong. It's still in production, but Wayward Bound. I've probably said that wrong. My apologies to the developers, which again is set in rural Victoria. Bar SK is kind of an art gallery slash bar space down there, which is just constantly showing local games from the scene in this kind of really relaxed environment.
Wow.
And it's just, you're essentially seeing Australian culture, Australian youth culture and creativity kind of expressed through this form that isn't getting the same support that Australian film or Australian, even Australian literature or something can kind of rely on.
Well, it's, hopefully there will be a recalibration on the federal level and we'll see a booming video game industry in the future. Brendan, thanks so much for coming on and having a bit of a chat about some of the issues right now.
No worries. Thanks for having me.